Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Back here on the morning shift, we are in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call. We want to hear from you. You can call us at 404-726-0929. Among the topics we discussed on the show, we had Charles Davis on with us from the Senior Bowl, and we threw around names like Mike Green out of Marshall, defensive tackle Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss, and defensive end Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M. Of course, when we're talking about potential guys that the Falcons could draft on the edge.
Yeah, and I think, listen, this is going to be a conversation that goes on for some time. And I just keep going back to, we had these same conversations the last couple of years and ended up being an offensive player. I said repeatedly on the show, I'd be dumbfounded if we took a quarterback after they went and worked out Michael Penix. And I didn't listen to the tea leaves. I was like, you know what I mean? They're trying to throw us for a loop. They're doing other things. They're talking to other people. And I'm like, and then they drafted Michael Penix. And I didn't go quite that far with the Bijan deal. But I was like, dude, I don't know that you take running backs top 10 these days. You already have Tyler Allgeier rush for 1,000 yards. And there we took Bijan. Now, thankfully, we took both those guys. But that is always going to be in the back of my head when we talk about defensive players, defensive tackles, edge rushers, and things of that sort. Because we can build up all these guys we want to in our head, but the decision will come down to who they think is the best player available.
Yeah, and you look at all that, and the one thing we've been able to do in this team for whatever reason, and maybe it's easier to develop offensive skill talent than it is, the trench players, which there's no doubt that it's a different type of work. You know, the weight room is a huge part of the development of a trench player, a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman, among other things, you know, technique. There's just so many. I think there might be more things that go into it than just, you know, a wide receiver honing in on his, you know, speed and agility training and, obviously blocking, but route running as well. You kind of ran most routes, or, you know, defining, kind of really refining your route tree running is a little bit different than some of those other things. The one thing I want to tell people is, and I've had some interaction on Twitter with some of my favorite people on Twitter, don't get stuck in where a guy played college football, okay? Just like it's like what Charles Davis told us earlier, don't get stuck on the stats of guys that played at top schools either. You know, I thought Rusty Manziel had a phenomenal tweet, and I'll probably talk to Rusty tomorrow like we always do, but he tweeted something out about Nolan Smith yesterday, And, man, it just really hit home because it's some of the things I've heard people talk about Shamar Stewart, and Charles touched on it, and we'll get to that later, about the 1.5 sacks. You know how many sacks Nolan Smith's best year was at Georgia? How many he got?
I'm just going to throw out 7.
3.5 as a sophomore. Wow. And he went first round, and he has 10.5 sacks this year, and he broke the Eagles' playoff sack record last week. Wow. That's Rusty's tweet. I'm reading verbatim off Rusty's tweet.
So that hit home the point that Charles was making.
Yeah, about Shamar Stewart.
Yes.
The thing I'd say about Mike.
Stats in general.
The thing I'd say about Mike Green is he had, you know how many sacks he had last year? Alone? 17.5. Mm. Yeah, he did it at Marshall. But he also abused Ohio State's right tackle. He abused the Virginia Tech left tackle at times and in some of their times. So if guys can play, guys can play. And if guys have a quick step and they show power and agility to get by a national championship team, and the offensive line, which that was a pretty good offensive line,
that
Ohio State.
That excites you.
That tells me something. All of that is great, right? All of that's fine and dandy. The reality is, can you find the guy that is going to come here and have the work ethic to continue to work hard, to listen, take coaching? And do you have the guys in the building that know how to develop players?
Well,
that is where Nate Oli, Ulbrich come into play right now for me, because those are the two guys that are going to be tasked with doing that if you went with a Shamar Stewart or a Jalen Walker, or God forbid you went Mike Green. And hell, Walter Nolan's another guy. And Nick Scorton is a guy I love, too. Oof. And nobody, I bet half the audience doesn't know his name. But because he didn't play at Georgia, and because he was a talented guy on an A&M line that had other talented guys.
Yeah, Nick Scorton's pretty good. And I think, to your point about where they played not mattering, this is a different day and age of college football. I'm drawing a blank on his name. There's a South Carolina linebacker that's down at the Senior Bowl right now. I wish I could remember his name off the top of my head. Went to Georgia Tech for 4 years. Went to, UNC Charlotte, and then finish at South Carolina. And you're like, oh, he's playing. He's a good linebacker from South Carolina. It's not where he played most of his career. It's not where he developed most
Demetrius
of his career.
Demetrius Knight.
Demetrius Knight. That's his name. And you look at him, and I go, oh, he looks good in space. And then you watch the tape, not a great tackler in space. There's a little bit of downside there. So it all comes to your point. Can you develop these guys? Can you find somebody that fits what you want to do? And do we have the people in place? Remember, we got an entire new strength staff last year. Do we have the people in place to be able to get the most out of these guys, and make sure they do play up to their capabilities? I got a question just now on Twitter about Deion Walker from Kentucky. Don't necessarily know that I love the guy, because on his tape, there's highs and there's lows. He plays up to competition, played great against Georgia, and then all of a sudden he disappears and he's getting hit under the chin at times. So got to find somebody that plays at a high caliber at all times, especially if you're going to take them with a 15th pick.
And to that point, he had some mixed reps yesterday at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
One where he got stood up and got no movement against a guy that didn't play at a Power 4 school. And then one where, there are a couple where he did. I love Jalen Walker. Jalen Walker is probably going to be the Nolan Smith for me in this draft.
Yeah.
It's a local kid that I think stands out.
Pretty good.
You know, the only thing that scares me about him? What's he really good at?
Shedding blocks. He's good in the muddle.
He's good at everything, but there's not one game that identifies to him. And I'm not criticizing. Just hear me out. But it's that old thing where sometimes you would rather have a guy that you know he's 100% just dominant at one thing, right? Because you know you can do that. Jalen Walker, I think his probably his best thing is the way he plays. He's his intensity and the way he flies around. Isn't that supposed to be everybody in the NFL? Plays intense, flies around. I'm not saying everybody does it. The only thing is I can't pick out one thing that I think here's how we could use him. Here's where he would make us better. He would make us better overall in our front seven. But what's he going to be doing now? I kind of feel like that's where Micah Parsons was at times in college. Undersized, could do a lot. But I don't know what he actually excelled at. Of course, comes in a league and just freaking lights it up for the last 4 years. So what the hell do I know?
Don't set me up to tee off on
Hey, Charles
so.
Davis said I was smart.
Let's go to the lines. We got Lee in Snellville. Good morning, Lee.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I would select Jalen Walker. He has mobility and the rush and the speed and the highlights from the Tennessee game.
Yeah, I'd take him too. I'd take him too. I think we both would.
Yeah, I love him.
We both would take him.
I love the player. But if we're going to question other guys, we got to question everybody.
I think that he brings a level of athleticism we desperately need defensively.
Speed in the linebacker position.
I mean, you look at how bad we've been against the mobile quarterbacks. I think that lends itself to that.
And when you talk about Jalen Walker and you talk about Mike Green, Mike Green's a stand-up defensive end, right? Shamar Stewart and Nick Scorton are kind of hand-in-the-dirt defensive linemen. Walter Nolan's obviously going to play inside not standing up. Jalen Walker, I think, could play, depending on how you're lined up, he could be right there next to Caden Allis, or he could be lined up over the edge, or he could be in Caden Allis' spot, you know?
Speaking of Micah Parsons, maybe he could do both.
Let's get Hurricane Otis in. Good morning. Good morning, Otis.
Man, I thought y'all were going to put me in the queue again, then hang up again.
I was trying to get you, my man.
Man, I tell you, the reason I called, though, y'all talking about the stomach virus. Mm. It's the best way to cure a stomach virus, you won't believe this, is buttermilk. It'll check it in a couple of hours. Remember that. This is for y'all and everybody that's listening. If you got stomach virus, diarrhea, buttermilk will check it.
Oh, Otis.
That's my wake-up call.
I've heard that
before. Talk to you later.
I can tell you guys right now, I just got over 24-hour virus, stomach bug. There is no way that I've been able to swallow buttermilk yesterday. Zero. I couldn't even get down barely a thimble of water, much less looking at buttermilk and thinking, all right, that's going to be the way to go. Maybe it cures it because
point.
Maybe it cures it because it comes right back up. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. There's no way I've been able to utilize any buttermilk yesterday.
The best thing if you've got like a voice going away is like you take some whiskey and like some hot honey and stuff. I mean, they call it a hot toddy. And there might be one other thing you mix in there. But that boy, it really coats your throat. Whiskey really sets in, makes you feel good, and it don't taste too bad neither.
I just, I'm after a stomach bug. I can't imagine buttermilk. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're just not built like some of us.
Right.
All right. Well, did you know you can listen to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on your smart device? Just ask your smart device to play 92.9 The Game. Listening to The Game just got a lot easier, powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877. Ask Dell. When we come back, we've talked a lot about potential draftees, but what about the free agency market? That will be here before you know it as well. Let's discuss some notable Falcons players when we return here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Back here.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up.
betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the morning shift and football coverage on Sports Radio 910. The game is brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. All right, the Senior Bowl going on in Mobile, Alabama. We had Charles Davis on with us earlier, CBS and NFL Network analyst who's been down there holding it down in Mobile this week. But I guess the topic of discussion has been for us the potential for the Falcons to possibly take, and I know you've heard this before, a pass rusher in the draft.
It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, you know what? For all of our sanity, let's just say a front seven defensive player. Would that be Would that be like misleading, or would that be kind of just?
No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, like the name Jalen Walker just came up. He's not going to be there 15.
No,
both
he's
of
not. Us, he'll be gone. Like, he'll be gone before eight.
I think you brought it up in a good way of saying, what does he do? Great. If he's there, we're taking him. I mean, I don't think neither you or I would doubt that once. He's an athletic defender in the front seven either way.
I do doubt it. If we were picking, yes.
Right.
There's nowhere else you can go on offense, right? At 15.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're returning almost every starter.
Like, where would you got Darnell, you got Drake. The tight end has got another year here. You got two running backs you got at least for next season. And the quarterback... There's nobody in this draft class. I would have taken over Michael Penix last year.
Me neither.
Last year, not
me neither.
You know, if they were
This year's quarterback draft seems a lot like the NBA draft did.
And there's no tackle. There's no offensive lineman to me that says I need to take him top 15. Not to mention the position you might need on offensive line. Are you taking it 15? Did you take a center at 15?
Careful. No. The answer's no.
Exactly.
But,
and that's not a knock. It's just reality.
Well, I think to your point about hoping that the Falcons draft a guy in the front center of that defense, I think the only way you can stray away from that is if it falls the way you kind of would need it to fall, is maybe corner. Like, I think that's the only other position you could probably go. That makes sense.
You could go safety, too.
That's what's really starting to worry me is I've seen two different mock drafts. I have Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan, who, by the way, missed all year at 15 of the Falcons.
You're worried not necessarily about them taking him, but just the position in general, because you would rather see someone on the line.
Wouldn't we all? Like we've just gotten to a point where it's almost comical that I even have to, that any of us have to get on here and wonder if he'll take somebody in the front seven.
I think this. Who's your elite player in the front seven, not named Caden Ellis? Who's your elite player?
And even saying he is elite, even that might be pushing it.
Yes.
His numbers are elite. His output's elite, but.
Yeah, but because of deficiencies around him,
right.
He doesn't.
I think he has to at least be a Pro Bowler if we're going to talk about being elite.
Okay. Well, you have two in the back end.
Right.
You have an elite safety, all pro safety, and you have an all pro at cornerback who's locked down. I'm not diminishing the need for back end players. I'm diminishing the need to go get a guy in the top 15 unless he is the best player by far at that spot. When there is very talented players that could be there in the front seven that it could immediately make you better. The thought of Walter Nolan being on our interior, considering the fact that you might have to figure out the future of David Onyemata and possibly Grady Jarrett because of cap implications, to me, puts me in a spot where, okay, take him right now. Take him right now because I think he'll be there. I'm not sure if Walker is. I think he'll be there. I'm not sure if Mike Green will be because I think Mike Green's going to jump up when all is said and done with his testing because of what he can do. That said, Shamar Stewart and Nick Skorton are both good guys, too.
Because you mentioned him as well when we talked to Charles Davis. So, what does Charles think about Shamar Stewart?
He's another guy that I'll put to you this way. Plays on the edge, right? A little bit more of a power edge player, in my estimation, than that silky smooth, you know, super upfield guy, that sort of deal. Not that he can't do those sorts of things. But you're gonna have to pack a lunch if you're gonna deal with him all day long. But here's where it always gets thrown off. You look at his sack numbers. He had 1.5 sacks last year. So your immediate thought is, what? He's supposed to be a big time guy. What's going on here? I'm seeing more and more of that coming out of college football, where the numbers don't match the potential or don't match the grades. And I had to teach myself to be very careful to not go 1.5 sacks. You guys are kidding me, right? I'm done with him, because I would be wrong. Okay. Trayvon Walker coming out of Georgia was not a huge sack guy. I think he's been double digits in the NFL. All right. Chop Robinson coming out of Penn State last year, 4.5 sacks last year. And everybody was just raving, Chop Robinson, got to get Chop Robinson. Chop Robinson, 4.5 sacks. Yeah, well, he had a really good rookie year. Remember when Adafe Owe was known as Jason Owe coming out of Penn State? 0 sacks his senior season.
I mean, Charles brings up so many good points. And Chop is another guy that we talked about last year numerous times.
Yeah.
Building up. Yeah. To
he was our safety valve.
Yeah.
He's like, well, if he can't get him and him, I'd take Chop.
Yeah, take Chop right now. No doubt. Right, listen, hear me now. They're not taking a quarterback at 8.
I'm just glad we're not taking an 8 this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
that's
I feel like we had 8 3 straight years, Steph. We had Pitts at 4 and then Drake, Bijan, and Penix all at 8. And I was like, well, you know, at least we're not going to pick an offensive player at 8 this year.
Although I wish we were 8 just for the simple fact that we might be able to get Jalen Walker.
I agree. Now I'd agree on.
I'll take that guy.
That I do agree on. But, you know, Nolan Smith had 11.5 sacks in his career at Georgia. And his best was 3.5 in the 21 on elite defense. And Rusty, you know, I tweeted that out. Shamar Stewart has 4.5 sacks in his entire career at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
So there is a red flag there with putting him up. But the reality is okay, who cares?
Yeah.
If the guy's dominant, if he's a physical freak and you can I look at that less than, well, do I have the guys in the ability to develop him?
Yeah. No, and the thing is too, I mean, think about it. We just talked about Walter Nolan. And we have been today. And you put him, we've talked about Nick Scorton and Shamar Stewart. You know, Walter Nolan came from Texas A&M.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous to think about that all three of those guys being in the same room at one point. It's crazy. And, it's nuts.
And then the knock on Mike Green is what he did. And I need to look up Jack Sawyer's sacks. Apparently a lot of people are in love with Jack Sawyer.
Yeah.
And
he and the guy, the Mason Graham kid out of Michigan, a lot of people in love with him.
That kid, well, he won't be there. He's gone.
I don't think Jack Sawyer would be there either. Yeah.
And I've not watched film on Jack Sawyer yet. Like, you know, you and I have sit down and we'll do that. You know, but Sawyer's a guy that's got 23 sacks in his career. He had 9 last year. Played on a very good defense. Again, I want to see kind of how he looks. It just goes to Mike Green had 17.5, and one of the guys he dominated was an Ohio State player. Doesn't matter where he played, how many offers he had out of college. I mean, David Pollack was a 3-time All-American and was a 3-star recruit. You know? I mean, you were an All-American and you were like a 3-star?
I was a 4.
4? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, depending on the you were 3-star for at least one recruiting source, right?
No. Speaking of which, this is 2005. There was only one recruiting source. There wasn't 247 wasn't around
well,
or on 3.
As a college sophomore that should have been a college senior, I had you on my board as a 3-star.
Is that what it was?
So, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Squidbilly.com, SBRecruits.com.
The Squidbilly News Network, man. We had. No, I kid. I'm joking.
Just because Charles said level. You were smart today.
Well, yeah. I was not. Because my breakdown was on point. I mean, I could be, call me up, Terry. I'll do this in the morning and I'll scout in the afternoon. I mean, just give me the pick. Give me the pick. That's what I'll do. But no. Look, the reality is I don't care. When you're on film and you flash, it's one thing. That's good. And then you see it done against Power 4 teams, it's done. But just because you did it at a school that is a factory doesn't mean you'll do it in the NFL.
No. That's not a guarantee. But it certainly ups your draft stock when you're doing it at a really good school against competition all of that plays into.
It's such an inexact science too, and I think when you look at it, there's a lineman, and I'm gonna mess his name up, so I'm not gonna try to say it. But there's a tackle from I think South Dakota or North Dakota State that has moved to interior offensive line and is dominating at the Senior Bowl. And that's a guy who, like, oh, he plays tackle. No, he plays guard. Ah, man, that's a tough transition. You played the FCFO. No, crushing everybody right now and has been going to town. So it's just, look, man, it's an inexact science. It's just, that's why it all comes down to at this point, like, we're pre-Senior Bowl. At this point, it comes down to which positions are we looking at? And that's why I think it's so frustrating, because how many times have we had this conversation as Falcons fans where you look at the front seven, you go, ah, very obvious. Now, I'll give Terry this. He went heavy in the front seven last year. He went heavy. There's no doubt about it. The Trice and Dorless and Aurora and, J.D. Bertrand. He went heavy. Zion Logue, who's not even here anymore. So I'll give him credit for that. He understood the need last year, but we drafted developmental players that did not do anything last year.
That's the one thing that I'm curious about, is how that affects the draft this year, is the Dorless and Aurora stuff, but mainly the Braylon Trice. Do you feel the need? You don't need another necessarily edge rusher, considering Braylon Trice is a guy that's there who's essentially going to be another draft pick that you haven't gotten. Now, he's come off injury, but then again, stockpile. Yeah. You had a running back coming off a 1,000-yard season, and you said, this guy is the best player in the draft. And guess what? John Robinson's played like the 8th pick overall in the draft.
Well, here's the one thing I will say, and I can say this because I've been in this guy's shoes. Coming back from an injury like that for Braylon Trice as a 3rd-round pick is very, very difficult, and it will be difficult. And when I watch the film on Mike Green, he's a rich man's version of what Braylon Trice's film was a year ago. He just is. 2-point stance, explosive, but I think that he has another gear that I don't think we ever saw Braylon Trice get to in his college film. So I think you have to also take that into context. What is Braylon Trice at his absolute best as opposed to what you can get, in some of these earlier slots in the draft? Remember, they only got 5 picks this year. So that's another thing to take into consideration.
When we come back here, we'll get you some steak tips. That's next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Back here on the Morning Shift, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. All right, so the coaching carousel we've been talking about throughout the NFL, a lot of interesting things going on, especially when it comes to the Saints. So Mike McCarthy withdrawing his name from that coaching search. And when we had Charles Davis on with us, analyst for CBS and NFL Network, he was saying the likely reasons for someone doing that would be, one, they think the job is going to somebody else and don't feel the need to continue any further in that interview process. Or the other thing is maybe they've got something else. So in this case, I think everyone seems to be leaning towards Kellen Moore being the likely candidate that the Saints will pick to fill that vacancy, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about the Kellen Moore thing if he was to be the guy in New Orleans. It's a good point that you brought up there about it with, hey, you know what? It's probably already filled. I'm going to pull my thing. I wonder how much Mickey Loomis is still being there. I'm not hating on Mickey Loomis. I think Mickey Loomis is a pretty good GM. I mean, the guy's got a Super Bowl. He's in just a remarkable job, honestly, of manipulating the cap for the last 15 years.
Man, that guy pushes money around like nobody.
And, yeah, he just kind of pushes it down the road, kicks the can down the road, as the saying is. And then you to mix it with another saying, the chickens have never come home to roost yet. And I don't know when they are.
He goes to work every day and he goes, this is going to be a problem for a future GM. This is not a problem for Mickey right now. This is going to be somebody else's deal. I'll worry about this when I retire.
Their reset could be, with the cap going up, when they actually have to hit the reset button, I don't know how it's not worse than the 21 Falcons reset. But all that said, I wonder how much that has to play into it with some of these guys. And does Mike McCarthy want to go to a job that looks like a rebuild? Aging defensive players, aging offensive players other than Kamara?
Questions at quarterback, possibly.
Yeah, a young receiver who's really good when he's healthy but has serious concussion issues.
Yeah, dude.
Alvin Kamara is like the only reason to take that job right now.
Well, I think there's some upside to a number of the pieces they do have. And honestly, I'm with you. I brought it up earlier. It just, all signs point to Kellen Moore. They just do. I mean, you talk about Mike McCarthy bowing out. He's got his eyes on the 26th coaching cycle now. Maybe he takes a year off. Maybe he doesn't. Kingsbury saying, hey, I'm staying here in Washington. It just seems like Kellen Moore, he's still involved in Super Bowl. Here's a question that popped up when I was thinking about this yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys about it. Who would have scared you more had they been the Saints head coach, Mike McCarthy or Cliff Kingsbury? And I don't know I don't think any of us can answer that question. I guess my point is, until you know who the quarterback of that team is moving forward, I don't know that you can answer that. When you talk about all these offensive minds that that are part of this coaching search, I don't know that there is an easy answer to
that. I would say Mike McCarthy would scare me more, because he's a guy that's done it at a high level. Everywhere he's been in the playoffs, he's won divisions, he's got a Super Bowl. He clearly can get the most out of players, even if he's faltered in playoff time. To Cliff Kingsbury, who really didn't do a lot with
Arizona.
Made the playoffs once. They were beat badly. He wasn't really a successful college coach either. I think he's been good with Jaden Daniels, but Jimmy Lake had them figured out in the first half, and then their adjustment was Jaden run right, Jaden run left, Jaden run up the gut.
Jaden make magic happen.
And I'm not criticizing, and I think he's brought on a young quarterback, but he doesn't blow me away in any way.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, and before we get to steak tips, does Kellen Moore scare you more than Cliff Kingsbury would have? Because I don't know the answer to that one either.
If he has an elite running back, yes, but what has he done without a great running back?
You're referencing his time at the Cowboys with Zeke Elliott when he was in his heyday. Was he the coordinator of that whole?
He was there for some of it.
Just some of it.
Darian.
And then obviously having Saquon Barkley.
But Saquon would make a lot of people look.
They also had the other kid in Dallas. Who's the kid that went to Tennessee in the offseason? The running back that took over for Zeke. As Zeke Tony Pollard,
yes,
Tony once Pollard. Zeke ate his way out of the running spot.
Yeah, he's in Tennessee.
Yeah.
He was eating.
Yeah, that was his little logo, his little slogan thing when he would do his celebration. He stole it from Sean Weatherspoon, though.
Good morning.
What up?
Good morning.
How we doing?
Speaking of eating, what's up? I need a new spot, man.
Are you feeling better?
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
You need a new
dehydrated
spot for what? For Valentine's?
What's that?
You need a new spot for Valentine's Day?
Yeah. I'm always looking for the list.
You're going to be one of those guys asking me to hook you up with a reservation on Valentine's?
No, man. No. Actually, I've known you long time. Yeah. The only person in my relationships to ask you is my wife. With the DM.
Right. She's like, last year?
Yeah, last year. She's like, I need a sushi spot.
She can reach out to me. That's fine.
Yeah. That's allowed.
How did she feel about the snoring segment? Like, everybody basically coming down on her. Everybody's saying that she just needs to get over it.
By the time her and I were supposed to talk about it at home, I was already in a bad spot. So
well,
she didn't.
I haven't seen a wife get taken down that. I mean, she was. No, she got taken down by everybody. Even Tiffany piled on. You told her to get over it.
No, did I?
Kinda.
I think that was more bold. Let's put it on.
All right, so,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm a little agitated. I was agitated on Monday in general, right, just from the weekend and watching the Eagles back in the Super Bowl and just the Super Bowl matchup, and Hawks are struggling, right? Basketball in town's been rough. Football was over. I don't know. But here's another thing that agitates me. So there's a couple of things in sports talk radio. The all-time most inane thing in the history of sports radio is when an NFL schedule comes out and a bunch of talking heads get on there and go, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, that should be a win, that's a loss. That's like, dude, what? We don't know anything about anything. We don't know how seasons play out. We don't know who gets injured. We don't know what teams are better than we. Here's another inane one. Great hire, terrible hire. Terrible hire, great. Like, we went back.
Are you a wait and see guy? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, because
thank you.
It's fine for conversation. You want to take a year? You want to take last year? You want to take 2000? You want to take 2019? 2019. We just decided to go back and look at previous years, right? And I looked at the grades on what was considered great hires. So let's take a year, 6 years ago. Okay,
all right.
7 coaching hires. And then I'll tell you what the USA Today and ESPN.com, whatever, said about it. Cardinals hire Cliff Kingsbury. Browns hire Freddie Kitchens.
Roll
Tide.
I forgot about that one.
Broncos hired Vic Fangio. Packers hired Matt LaFleur. Bucks hired Bruce Arians. The Jets hired Adam Gase. The Bengals hired Zach Taylor. And the Dolphins hired Brian Flores. That's wow. 5 years ago,
wow.
right? So then you go to the articles of, like, grading the hires from 2019. This is, like, the right when the final hire was made. So what was considered maybe the worst hire got a C-minus of the entire group. You want to take a guess?
Wasn't that after Adam Gase was fired in Miami?
Yeah.
So I would say Adam Gase was probably the worst.
Let me see what his grade is. I'll tell you what was really high on as a bad grade was Matt LaFleur, right? Green Bay, they hire a Titans offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur, who basically is too young for that position, right? Mm-hmm. In over his head, possibly. Bruce Arians, another one who goes and wins the Super Bowl, right? Now you can give it to Tom Brady, but okay, who had him there? Adam Gase. I'm trying to see what they said about
I
him.
No, they gave him a good.
No.
Okay.
Adam Gase got a D.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Brian, Zach Taylor of the Bengals gets a C+. He was interim coach with the Dolphins in 2015. My point is, and how little press conferences matter. Sometimes how good a coordinator you were based on how good your offense was, right? Like, is Ben Johnson really the best hire, like everybody's saying? So I just looked at the everyone's like, best hire by far, look at his offense. I don't know, when you have that collection of talent, great tight end, two stud running backs, one of the best receivers in football, and a guy that's a 70% passer. So I don't know if there's a translation, but is that clearly the best hire, Ben Johnson, over everybody else?
But, I think it has to be just because of everybody else. It's not so much him. But
so is Aaron Glenn? Because that's the best team. Is that the two best hires?
I mean, I think Pete Carroll is being overlooked as how good of a hire that is. He's phenomenal.
Point.
He knows how to, interject energy, and put that in a building. And players buy into him. All he needs is one position, and he could probably figure that out. I think Aaron Glenn is arguably a better hire than Ben Johnson. What do you know about Ben Johnson other than the things you just said?
Listen, if leaders, first-time coaches, handling different responsibilities, now you're, the guy that sets the tone. I don't care about press conferences. I care about how bright you are and how great a leader, right? How bright are you and how great a leader are you? Last year's was 8 hires. Dave Canales with the Buccaneers. Gerard Mayo with the Patriots. Done. Brian Callahan with the Titans, okay. Antonio Pierce, Raiders, he's done. Jim Harbaugh for the Chargers, they were out early. Dan Quinn, the best hire, clearly, right?
Yeah, far and away.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have said that? Who would have said Dan Quinn, especially in Atlanta? Wow, they made a great move. Mike McDonald with the Seahawks and Raheem Morris with the Falcons.
Well, and I think the Dan Quinn one thing, too, is you're like, well, that might be a good hire, but they're still a mess.
That's 8 new hires last year.
Go back to 21. 21 is a year that really sits with me. Is I remember doing radio shows and hearing Nick Sirianni and Dan Campbell get made fun of in their press conferences, and everyone loved Arthur Smith. And now one of those is going to second Super Bowl in what, 3 or 4 years,
yeah.
And the other one has made the playoffs twice in 4 years, including an NFC title game.
Who's the most – you're the longest in the room other than myself. Who's the most impressive coach you've been around in 20 years of doing sports radio in Atlanta?
In Atlanta.
Yeah, any sport. Any sport, any coach.
That's one.
I'll say Brian Snicker.
Brian Snicker's
done the – You love DQ. You've always talked about DQ.
Well, I love DQ how he – here's the thing I love about DQ is how he was and how good of a coach he was, how he would talk to you away from the microphone. I love the honesty of a guy like Brian Snitker.
Okay, but Brian Snitker's results are unparalleled. No, this is a lifetime minor leaguer, older guy. Nobody in baseball is like, that's a brilliant hire. Brian Snitker has just gone out and won with every combination of players. He's won a world championship. He has the perfect tone for 162-game season. Who would have thought that Brian Snitker would be this good?
But can I say this? What's the best-run franchise since you've been in this city doing sports talk in Atlanta?
Yeah, obviously the Braves.
It's the Braves. And that's why –
Okay, but –
And I agree with everything.
Maybe they hired the right guy, too.
Well, they also hired the right GM.
Yeah, combination.
Who knows – and you don't want to talk about collaboration, and we make fun of it when the Falcons say it. You don't think Brian Snitker – and AA aren't collaborating on the type of player they need. and the type of personality they're bringing in.
I agree. Yeah, that's a relationship.
But I think Snicker's a very good call.
Yeah. I mean, nobody would have thought. My point is, back to the wait and see, right? Who would have thought what a brilliant move from Freddy Gonzalez, right? It was from Freddy he replaced.
Yeah.
And
as the interim.
Listen, he's
the
had,
one time the interim
you
worked.
Could argue he has had more success than Bobby Cox. I mean, and Bobby was, you know, had a great run of 14 division titles, but the greatest underachieving and postseason manager maybe ever was Bobby Cox.
Can I ask you a question? I'm going right off the rails here.
Love it when you ask questions.
Bobby Cox and Mike Tomlin, is there a real difference in the two? Because all they do is make the playoffs. They only have one title. One has lost six straight playoff games. I know it's a different sport.
It's almost impossible to have 14 straight trips to the playoffs and be the best team probably five times, and only win one title. That's almost as amazing as winning 14 titles is that you only won one.
Yeah.
And it's like Greg Maddux, Tom Glavin, John Smoltz, Chipper Jones, all Hall of Famers. Throw in Gary Sheffield, Fred McGriff, Ron Gay. Throw in every combination of superstars.
Andrew Jones.
Thank you.
I'm still on the fact that Eric Gregg cost you a 97 chance of the World Series.
Maybe he did, but you know what?
I'll never
My point is, what do we really know? We'll talk about coaches today a lot. And this new group hired, I mean, I don't know. Just say real quick, best hire out. Who's gonna be the best hire in 3 years of all the new guys that were just hired? Of all the new coaching guys. Who's the guy that's gonna
I'll go Pete Carroll. I'll go Pete Carroll. You like that?
Was my pick.
I don't want to sound like a homer. I'll go Mike Vrabel, though. The situation
it's a good one.
He's putting himself in a great spot there with a quarterback and a high draft pick and a ton of money. Who would have thought Matt LaFleur is the guy, right, that year? That's all.
That's going to do it for us here in the morning shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.